17 is where we'll be tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 17. Any of you tonight know what a corner man is? Or who a corner man is? In boxing, absolutely. What does a corner man do? All righty. Does that for sure. Anything else? Coaches? What else? Give them water. He encourages, absolutely. All of those things that have been mentioned, that's exactly what a corner man does. And that's what I want to preach to us tonight, not about boxing, but the title of the message tonight is Corner Man. And I want to, very simply, I want to submit to us tonight that every single one of us gathered together here tonight in this auditorium, everyone gathered together in the gym over there as well, every single one of us need someone in our corner. And specifically, like the man we're going to look at tonight. And so I brought us to 2 Samuel chapter number 17. Let's begin reading in verse number 27. We'll read these last three verses of the chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 27. The Bible says, "It came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai the son of Nahash of Reba of the children of Ammon, and Machir the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogelim brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat, barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched poles and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." If you're familiar with the text, if you're familiar with where we're at in the life of David, David's son Absalom has rebelled. And he has assumed the throne, albeit for just a short amount of time, but he has assumed the throne. And David has fled Jerusalem, and all hope seems to be lost. However, in the midst of everything that Absalom throws at his father David, David had some corner men. David had some encouragers. David had some men who coached him and helped him. And I want to fix our attention upon one of those tonight. David, your trusted counselor Ahithophel, has abandoned you. He has betrayed you. But David, you still have men like Barzillai. And I want to preach to us tonight about corner men, and specifically I want to preach to us and speak to us tonight about this man Barzillai here in 2 Samuel 17. We'll find him in chapter number 19 as well. We'll find him in 1 Kings 2 as well tonight. And the challenge is twofold tonight. Is first of all for us to think in our minds about the men and women in our lives who would fill this space, who we would say would be corner men in our own lives. It might be a spouse, it might be a good friend, it could be a lot of different individuals. It ought to be brothers and sisters in Christ, right? It absolutely should be. But tonight is twofold. I want us to praise God for all the corner men and women that we have in our lives. But secondly, I want to challenge us to ask ourselves, am I a corner man? Am I an encourager? Or am I a discourager? Am I an individual? Now, by the way, please don't misunderstand. Hey, don't miss this. We're not talking about condoning sin tonight. We're not talking about compromising for sin tonight. David hadn't sinned. Now, David had done some things that I believe he's reaping the consequences for what he did with Bathsheba. Okay, I would agree with that. But right now, Absalom is the one who has sinned. Absalom is the one who has rebelled. So we're not talking about condoning sin tonight. We're not coming alongside of someone and encouraging them in their sin. Someone who is in sin needs to be confronted with that sin and helped to come back to God. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about being an encourager when somebody's going through a hard time. Recent weeks, this has just been on my heart in recent weeks, because it just seems like pastors that I know, at this very moment, they need some corner men. They need some people who come alongside them and encourage them and help them when they're in their darkest, or what may seem like their darkest hour, when they have the deepest need. They need people to come alongside and help. And so that's what I want to look at tonight. Let's praise God for those who do that. And then secondly, let's make sure in our own hearts that that's who we are, that we are encouragers. We come alongside people and help. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to help tonight. Then we'll get right into the message as we look here at chapter, really for a few chapters here in this vicinity here in 2 Samuel. Father, we love You tonight. We're grateful for those individuals, men and women, who You have placed in our lives that do encourage us. They don't condone our sin. They don't put their arms around us and take up for us when we sin. But when we are in times of trouble, Father, they come alongside and they help. They'll literally go to the mat for us. They'll not betray us like Ahithophel did. They'll not leave us like many of the subjects did. No, they'll come right along with us, and they'll fight for truth, and they'll fight for that which is right. They'll encourage our hearts. So, Lord, I pray that You'd encourage us with that tonight. Teach us and help us. Lord, be with our young people. Be with our kids. Be with our teenagers. Lord, I do pray if there would be a young person here tonight, or even someone in this auditorium who's never come to Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that tonight might be that night. Help us, Lord. Be with those that are away from us tonight, whether it be for sickness, whether it be for work, whatever the case would be, Father, we pray that You'd help and bless wherever they may be at this very moment, and we'll thank You for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you three characteristics about the corner man, and specifically about this corner man, Barzillai. The Bible gives us here in 2 Samuel chapter number 17, gives us three names, gives us three individuals. I pick Barzillai because Barzillai is mentioned again in a couple of different places. But in verse number 27, the Bible says, now understand again the context, they have fled Jerusalem. David and his many of his men have fled fled from Jerusalem. And in verse number 27, the Bible says that they come to this place called Mahanaim. And these three individuals, Shobai, the son of Nahash, Machir, the son of Ammiel of Lodabar, and then Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, they come, and in verse number 28 and 29, we're given a catalog of things that they bring for David and his people. And the Bible says they bring them food. I think this is very interesting. In verse number 28, the Bible says they brought beds, and they brought basins. I mean, when I think of a bed, I'm thinking of a mattress and a box springs and a headboard and a footboard. That's probably not what they brought, right? Probably not. Probably some kind of cot. But they brought beds. They brought something for them to sleep on. The Bible says they brought basins. They brought things they could put water in, maybe to wash, maybe to cook, whatever the case. And then the Bible says they brought food: wheat, barley, flour, parched corn, beans, lentils, parched pulse, honey, butter, sheep, cheese of kine. Why did they do that for them? Because the Bible says in verse number 29 that they were hungry, and they were weary, and they were thirsty. Number one tonight, let me give you this. A corner man, first of all, as we think about the characteristics of these men, specifically Barzillai, a corner man, first of all, is loyal to the brethren. He is loyal to the brethren. Now again, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying he's loyal to a brethren who is away from God. Now, he is loyal, a brethren who is away from God. And what I mean by that is he's not helping him to stay away from God. It's not what we're speaking about tonight. But a corner man is loyal to the brethren. And listen, dear friends, tonight God has brought us together as a local body of believers here in this church at Maranatha Baptist Church. We ought to be loyal to each other. We ought to be loyal to the brethren. When someone has a need, when someone is hurting, by the way, the Bible tells us that in so many passages. In Romans chapter number 12, it speaks about that. The Bible says when people rejoice, we rejoice with them. When they cry, when they weep, we weep with them. Okay, so the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter number 6, the Bible speaks about that we are to help the household of faith. Number one, a corner man is loyal to the brethren. David has experienced a number of individuals who have rebelled, who have abandoned, who have betrayed him. A corner man is loyal to the brethren, even when the children have betrayed, even when the citizens have betrayed, even when the counselors have betrayed. When the children have abandoned and rebelled, when the citizens have abandoned and rebelled, when the counselors have abandoned and rebelled, the corner man is still loyal to the brethren. Look with me, if you would, at chapter number 15 and verse number 1. 2 Samuel chapter number 15, a corner man is loyal to the brethren. Even when the children rebel, when the citizens rebel, when the counselors rebel. My wife and I know of a pastor and his wife. We know of a pastor who, when his children got to the teenage years and really to the years where they graduated from high school and they got ready, they could go out on their own, two of their three children rebelled and went away from them and did not remain how they were taught and how they were raised. And of course, it broke their heart. And of course, they fasted and they prayed and they fasted and they prayed for those two children to come back to God. And still at this very moment, right now, some probably 7 or 8, 9, 10 years later, they still have not come back to the point that where they should come back. But when that happened, and look, we can argue about this. People made the argument from 1 Timothy 3. You know, they said, well, look, he can't even control his household. And so when his two children rebelled, there were scores of people in his church that left. Now, everybody handles it different. If I have children who rebel, I don't know exactly how I would handle it. Maybe I would step away from the ministry for a while. I don't know how I would handle that. But instead of those people helping, they walked away. And by the way, I believe their walking away has been a part of why those two kids haven't come back yet. Because they said, see, that's all church is about. Is that if we don't fall right into line to what you think we ought to be, you're going to walk away from my dad. And those two kids still haven't come back. Not completely. Their relationship is better now than it used to be, but they haven't completely come back. Listen tonight, a corner man is loyal to the brethren. Even when the children rebel. 2 Samuel 15, I had you turn there. The Bible says it came to pass after this that Absalom, by the way, that's when people need you. The Bible says it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared. And we could say, well, look, David got what was coming to him. In 2 Samuel chapter number 12, Nathan said this was going to happen. Nathan told David he was going to have trouble with his family. Yes, I agree with that. This is part of the consequence of what David did with Bathsheba. But he still needed people to stand beside and help. It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Verse number 10. The Bible says, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. You ever had a son do that to you? Maybe you have. If you have, you know the heartache that David was going through. To have a son that would betray him in such a manner. To have a son that would stand at the gates, and when the people came to get judgment for the king, Absalom stood in and said, you know what? You don't have anybody to be able to help you. I'll be the one to help you. Oh, it would be a wonderful thing if I had been deputed to be the judge in the land. Corner man is loyal to the brethren when the children rebel. Secondly, when the citizens rebel. Look at chapter number 16 and verse number 5. Chapter number 16 and verse number 5. Actually, let's do this real quick. Go back to chapter 15. We'll just get it in order. Look at verse number 12. Chapter 15 and verse number 12. The Bible says, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. Notice this. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Chapter number 16 and verse number 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out. Come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Corner man is loyal to the brethren, even when the children rebel, when the citizens rebel. And then thirdly, when the counselor rebels. We already read in chapter number 15, we saw the name Ahithophel. Look at chapter number 17. The Bible tells us in Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 42, David talks about his trusted counselor. He's talking about Ahithophel. 2 Samuel 17, verse number 1, the Bible says, moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now. Now we read in chapter 15, Absalom sins for Ahithophel. Ahithophel goes. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all return, so all the people shall be in peace. A corner man is loyal to the brethren. Here's his trusted counselor. Here's the man that he probably sat with many a day and received counsel from him, received strategy from him. And now he has betrayed, he has jumped ship. He's made allegiance to Absalom. Corner man is loyal to the brethren. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? People jump ship sometimes for no reason at all. Now, you would say, well, Ahithophel had a reason. We've talked about that before. I think Ahithophel did what he did because of who? Because of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was his granddaughter. And so I believe Ahithophel did what he did out of a bitter heart toward David. Now, we could understand that a little bit, couldn't we? But you did with my granddaughter. And he betrayed David. But listen, a corner man is loyal to the brethren. When other people leave, when the children rebel, when the citizens rebel, when the counselors rebel, the corner man stays loyal. Number two tonight, not only is a corner man loyal to the brethren, but secondly tonight, a corner man is liberal with his belongings. He is liberal with his belongings. We already read in verses 27 through 29 of 2 Samuel chapter number 17. A corner man is loyal to the brethren. A corner man is liberal with his belongings. Let me go back real quickly. Actually, I'm not. Let's just move on. A corner man is liberal with his belongings. And by the way, he's liberal with his belongings in order to meet the needs of the brethren. In order to meet the needs of the brethren, we read there in 2 Samuel 17, they brought beds, they brought basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, and flour, and parched corn, and beans, and lentils, and parched poles. By the way, that verse there, they could keep most of that. But verse 29 is good, isn't it? Honey and butter, cheese, sheep, that's good. Jonathan was saying tonight, he's got to teach in Master Club the food pyramid. He said, Daddy, he said, you know that's just a ruse anyway. He said, none of that's true. He said, they got the meat on like the third line. He said, that'll be on the first line. I said, well, teach it however you want to teach it, man. It doesn't matter to me. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll ask him afterward. But they're liberal with their belongings because they want to meet the needs of the brethren. Let me give you three things here real quickly. First of all, he, speaking of the corner man, speaking of Barzillai, he provides sustenance for the weakened. He provides sustenance for the weakened. Look at chapter number 19 as well. Would you look at 2 Samuel chapter 19? Let's begin in verse number 31. He provides sustenance for the weakened. Secondly, he provides sleep for the wearied. They brought beds. And thirdly, he provides salve for the wounded. He provides sustenance for the weakened. He provides sleep for the wearied. He provides salve for the wounded. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 31 through 39. This is one of the sweetest nine verses in the story of the life of David. Verse number 31. Now again, we're skipping context. Absalom has been killed. The nation of Israel is bringing David back to Jerusalem. They're bringing him back to the palace. And the Bible says in verse number 31, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king. Here's what Barzillai is going to do. He's coming down to help ferry him back over Jordan, taking him back to Jerusalem. Now, he's not going to go all the way with him, but he's there to meet him on the way back. He met him in Mahanaim to bring him possessions, to bring him belongings, to help meet the need. But then when everything is over and when the battle's over and when Absalom is dead and when they're going to bring David back to Jerusalem, he meets him again. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down to conduct him over Jordan. Notice this. Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. How old was he? 80 years old. He had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. What does that mean? He was a very great man. That means he was wealthy. It means he had stuff. But you know what? He was liberal with his stuff. That's an okay use of the word liberal there. It's okay to be liberal in that fashion. He gave liberally. He's a wealthy man. But he gave because he loved his king. Verse number 33, and the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? By the way, that's a reference to his eyesight. He said, can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant, notice this, be yet a burden unto my lord the king? He said, king, boy, what a great honor to be able to come and eat at your table. But King David, I don't want to be a burden to you. How old am I? I'm 80 years old. I can't see. I can't hear. I can't taste. People are going to end up having to take care of me. I'm just going to be a burden to you, David. And by the way, notice something else he says there in that verse. In verse number 35, he says, wherefore then should thy what? Thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king. Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense at me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he returned into his own place. A corner man is liberal with belonging, with his belongings. He provides sustenance for the weakened. We saw that in chapter 17, verse 29. We saw in chapter 17, verse 29, he provides sleep for the wearied. But he provides salve for the wounded. Let me ask you tonight, what did Barzillai provide? He didn't provide any physical salve to cover the emotional, spiritual, physical wounds that David went through from the rebellion of his son Absalom. But what did he provide him? Say it again. Okay, provided him love? Absolutely. What else? Belonging, stuff, but what else? Lifted his spirits. You know what he provided him? His presence. His presence. He provided him proof that, David, there's still some men in Israel who still love you. King David, there's still some men in Israel who haven't gone with your rebellious son. Hey, Pastor, there's still some folks that are with you who haven't run off with the people who are trying to stir up trouble in the church. And by the way, I don't say that for myself because we don't have that going on here. At least I don't think we do. But the pastor's always the last one to know, right? But you know what? I do say that for pastors who are dealing with that right now. People trying to stir up trouble. Trying to cause trouble. By the way, without any grounds whatsoever. Trying to cause trouble. And people stirring other people up. And people leaving with them. Instead of just standing by the pastor and saying, Pastor, we're with you. We appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate you standing on the word. We're with you. Corner man. By the way, it's not just for the pastor. Hey, husbands, your wives need that every now and then. Not every now and then, they need it all the time. Your wife going through a hard time, maybe going through a hard time at work, they need a corner man. Wives, your husband needs the same thing. Your Sunday school teacher might need it. I don't know. Other workers in the church may need it. But a corner man provides salve for the wounded. Can you imagine David's heart as he's making his way back to Jerusalem? His son Absalom is dead. He told him not to kill Absalom, but Absalom is dead. A rebellious child, he had to deal with that first of all, who assumed the throne and revolted and rebelled and led a coup against him. He had to deal with that first, and then his son died. His son was killed. Joab killed him. So he's making his way back. They've got a ferry to ferry them over Jordan. First part of chapter 19 speaks about that. It speaks about the ferry. And who meets him there? Now, maybe Shobai met him there. Maybe Macher or Maker, however you pronounce it, met him there, but it doesn't say that. It says Barzillai met him. David, I know I'm old. I'm 80 years old. I'm not going to be around much longer, but King David, I'm still with you. King David, I still love you. King David, you're still God's anointed. King David, you're still there for a reason. David, I would be honored to be able to sit around your table. But David, I'm old. I'd just be a burden to you. Here, you can take Chimham. You can take this servant, Chimham. He'll go with you. But David, I'm just going to go back home. And I'm going to die, and I'm going to be buried close to my mom and dad. King David, I love you. And he helped heal wounds with just His presence, just by being there. He said, David, I'll go with you for a little ways. I'll go a little way over Jordan with you. But then I'm going to go back home. It's just His presence. A corner man is loyal to the brethren. Secondly, a corner man is liberal with his belongings. And I leave us with this tonight. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter number 2. He's loyal to the brethren. He's liberal with his belongings. Whether that be physical belongings or just with his time. He provided sustenance. He provided sleep. He provided salve for the wounded heart. You know, there are a lot of people that will never know it. We'll never know how wounded they are. They don't make a big deal about it. They don't ever talk about it. But you know what? If the Holy Spirit prompts your heart to be an encouragement to someone, do it. It's probably for a good reason. I'm not talking about an audible voice from the Holy Spirit, but you know, the Holy Spirit does prompt us. I believe that with all my heart. I believe He prompts us based on what the Word of God teaches us, and the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit in tandem, they prompt us sometimes to do things. You know, we ought to do it. Because we may not know their heart. We may not know what's going on in their family. We may not know what's going on in their lives. But the Holy Spirit knows. And so if He prompts us to be an encouragement, let's do it. Let me leave you with number three. Number three, a corner man leaves a legacy for his boys. A corner man leaves a legacy for his boys. A corner man is loyal to the brethren. He's liberal with his belongings. And thirdly, a corner man leaves a legacy for his boys. As one preacher stated one time, he said this. He said, we get to clip the coupons when the previous generations live for God. We get to clip the coupons for what previous generations did when they lived for God. You know what I want my kids to be able to do? I want them to be able to clip some coupons. I want to leave a legacy, a heritage. Maybe heritage is the better word. I want to leave a heritage for them. I want them to be able to clip some coupons because mom and dad tried to do what was right. Look what the Bible says here. David's getting ready to go off the scene. Verse number 1, the Bible says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and His testimonies as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue His word which He spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said He, a man on the throne of Israel. So, the first four verses, David is charging his son. He's charging Solomon. Solomon, show thyself a man. Solomon, be what you ought to be. Solomon, love God and love His word and love His statutes. Be obedient so that there will always be a king on the throne. God has promised that if we'll do it. He said, may there always be a king. That the Lord may continue His word. But then in verse 5, he begins to speak about others. He says, Solomon, moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me. What he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. And then notice verse number 7. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite. And let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. Isn't that good? On his deathbed, Barzillai wouldn't take him up on his offer. No, David, I'm going to go back home. It'd be an honor to sit around your table, but I'm going to go back home. David didn't forget, did he? You know, when we're faithful to the Lord and we're faithful to the brethren and the people that God has placed into our lives, and when we are an encourager, when we are corner men, and when we help those that are discouraged and hurting and are wounded, when they need spiritual help, God doesn't forget that. Now, the people we help won't forget it, but neither does God. David says, Solomon, hey, Solomon, you do whatever you want to do with Joab. Just don't let his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. But then he comes to Barzillai. Show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. Now, I notice this. Notice the word that's used in the last part of verse 7. You see, we don't see it in 2 Samuel 17. We don't see it in 2 Samuel 19. The little pronoun, they. You know who I believe was with Barzillai when he went to help David? When he took the beds and the basins and the cheese and the vegetables and the sheep, and they took everything to David and his people there in Mahanaim. You know who I think was with Barzillai? It's his sons. It's his family. Hey, boys, we're going to help the king. Hey, boys, the king's son is rebelling and revolting. He's led a coup. We're going to help the king. He says, you show kindness to Barzillai's sons. He says, because they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother. Tonight, I hope we'll praise God for the corner men in our lives. And then secondly, tonight, I pray that we'll make sure that that's the kind of individual we are. That we are an encourager. We're not always taking. We're not always taking. We're not always taking. There are some people who are takers. God help us not be that way. There's some people, all they want to take, 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 take. Barzillai, I love it. He wasn't in it for what he could get out of David. He wasn't in it because of what he could get from the king. The Bible says he was already a great man anyway. But he wasn't in it so that the king could lift him up and exalt him. He said, no, I'm going to go home. I'm going to live out the rest of my life, and then I'm going to be buried by mom and dad. I'm not worried about being at the palace. He wasn't in it for that. He was in it because he just wanted to be a help. Because he loved his king. And I believe, and the Bible doesn't tell us, I'm not trying to add to the Bible, but I believe he loved his God. Because David was a man after God's own heart. Corner man is loyal to the brethren. He's liberal with his belongings. And he leaves a legacy for his boys. Girls too. It says sons in 1 Kings 2 though. God help us that would be us tonight. See somebody at Maranatha Baptist Church that needs some encouragement? Go encourage them. You see a brother or sister that needs encouragement? Encourage them. You see your husband had a hard day? Encourage him. You see your wife had a hard day? Encourage her. You see your children had a hard day at school? Encourage them. Bring them some lentils. I'm joking about it. Don't bring them lentils. Goodness. Any of y'all like lentil soup? My wife likes it. She doesn't fix it much because none of the rest of us like it. Encourage them, amen? Everybody needs a corner man, and every single one of us ought to strive to be someone else's corner man, to be a Barzillai, 80 years old, and he's still being an encourager. 80 years old. He's not worried about death. He's concerned about being an encourager. Not concerned about what everybody else can do for him. Hey, what can I do for the king? What can I do with this situation that's wrong and Absalom rebelling? He just wanted to encourage. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for men like Barzillai. Thank you for men who encourage. They don't condone sin. They encourage. They help. When others have sinned against someone else. They come alongside and they put their arm around. They come alongside and they hug. It was evident there in chapter number 19. David kisses Barzillai like the love of a son with a father. What a picture. Father, we praise You tonight for men and women in our lives who are like that. And then, Lord, tonight we ask that You'd help us to be like that. Not takers, but givers. Not discouragers, but encouragers. Not individuals who throw cold water, but individuals who take a cup of cold water and help and encourage someone. Father, help us as we pray. We ask that You'd hear us, that You'd bend Your ear toward us tonight, answer our prayers, and Father, we'll thank You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It is about 8 minutes to...